Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mic check. Amen. Let's give God another hand praise. Blessed Hope Bible Church. God has been in the midst of the service already from praise and worship to the altar prayer. Oh my God, oh my God. Yes, He is indeed. Well, welcome Blessed Hope Bible Church this morning. We're glad to be here on this first Sunday of August. It's a good thing, ain't it? Amen. It's a very good thing. So, if y'all don't mind, can y'all pray? Can we pray one more time?
Yes.
One more time. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we are continuing prayer.
Give myself away.
Because we need it. And we honor you today, O Lord, for this day that you have made. We do rejoice in this day. Absolutely. And we bring you glory. It's to you we give the glory for allowing us one more time to be in the service. For another day, it's another day's journey. And we are glad about it. Oh, you didn't have to put none of us on your work wake up list, but you did. And we are grateful for the opportunity and the privilege to stand before you in prayer. Father, we ask that you continue to bless this service from beginning to end. And Heavenly Father, let the words from my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, and that you be the source and the source alone of everything that proceeds out of my mouth today. And we thank you, and we give you the honor, and we give you the glory. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and let every heart say amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God another hand praise, because he deserves it. Amen. He deserves it. Yes, you do. I want to mention our website that we have. Those of us, if we have any visitors today, we welcome you, first of all. And we have a website, and it's www.bhbcstl.org. And it tells everything that you would need to know about Blessed Hope Bible Church on that website. Amen.
Amen.
You know, The Christian Thought Life, Part 2, is the name of this sermon. Y'all remember Christian Thought Life, Part 1? Y'all remember it? But this is Part 2. And I said in Part 1 that if God says the same, that I would be preaching Part 2. It looks like he says the same. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But nevertheless, I really appreciate the last three sermons that Pastor Jim Smith preached on as Christians honoring the laws of the land and being obedient and submitting one to another, why submitting to the husbands. I really appreciate those three sermons because it ties up into this one in a lot of ways, because before we do anything like that, before we are able to trust in God and obey the laws of the land, we have to have a mindset to do it. It goes back to our thought life and our thought process. That's where it begins. If we don't have a thought process that honors God, there's no way we can obey anything, much less the laws of the land. But nevertheless, I appreciate that. And just like Part 1, I remember I had three principles that showed us why we should guard our thoughts. Remember, one of the reasons why is because it determines who we are. Proverbs 23:7, whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it determines the way we behave, how we act, so forth and so on. But it was three principles that I gave. And just like then, I have three principles as well to show us how to guard our thoughts. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, how?
How?
We guard our thoughts. Amen. Amen. I want you to listen to the introduction very carefully. And it says this. Taking control of our thoughts is essential. Of course, Proverbs 4:23 tells us to guard our hearts, for out of it flows the issues of life. Amen?
Amen.
The heart includes the mind and all that proceeds from it. Someone said that every sin we commit twice, once in our thoughts and again when we act upon it. Wow, ain't that something? It is easier to rid our lives of sin if we attack it at this fundamental thought level rather than waiting for it to become rooted in our lives by our actions and then try to pull it out. It's too late then. And get this, there is also a difference between being tempted and sinning. See, when a thought enters your mind, that's temptation. But sinning is when you dwell upon it and act upon it. That's when it becomes sin, but just because it enters your mind, that's just a temptation. And that's the difference. So when a thought enter our mind, we have to examine it based upon God's word and determine whether we should continue down that path or reject the thought and replace it with another thought. If we have already allowed a habit to form in our thought lives, it becomes more difficult to change the path of our thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that brings me to principle number one. And I'm using the Apostle Paul's letters, his epistles from the book of 2 Corinthians, the book of Ephesians, and also the book of Philippians to demonstrate the three principles of how to guard our thoughts. Principle number one, we can guard our hearts and minds by taking our thoughts captive, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 6. Now, leading up to this passage, I was reading it. When I was researching it, the Apostle Paul was talking to the church of Corinth, and he was telling them, he said, just because when I write to you, I may seem very bold when I write to you, but when I come to you in person, I might seem a little timid. But he was just letting them know, look, don't get it twisted. Don't take my kindness for weakness. He said, although we are human, we don't wage war like humans do. And that brings me to verse 4. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want to talk about three things in this first principle. Strongholds, our spiritual weapon, and taking our thoughts captive. Let me start with strongholds. You know, the world is full of them. Strongholds, they are human philosophies, arguments, and proud opinions, ungodly philosophies that hold people bondage. Even today, even in the church, yes, strongholds hold us bondage. Yes, they do. They're spiritual fortresses, and they need to be demolished. Let me give you some examples of a stronghold. You know, the theory of evolution, that's a stronghold. Talking about we come from apes and gorillas. No, we don't. We were created by the Lord thy God. That's a stronghold. Don't believe that mess. And people who think like that, something wrong with them. It's a stronghold. And they believe that stuff. I'm going to tell you something else. Homosexuality. Lesbianism. That ain't just a choice. That's a stronghold. It's a tremendous stronghold. Yeah, I said it. You know, animals don't even play that. You don't see two dogs male dogs trying to mate with each other, do you? They even know better than that. Or two female dogs, they'll fight each other to death. They're strongholds. We are created by the Lord thy God. We don't come from apes. Those are strongholds, human, ungodly philosophies that hold us bondage. Strongholds, we have to break them. And I'm going to show you how to break them later on in this point. But nevertheless, they are holding us bondage. In church today, we're in a time that we have to break those strongholds. We are under attack mightily. Let me go on to the second one, our spiritual weapon. And Paul has mentioned, he said, our weapons of warfare are not carnal. In other words, the flesh is powerless. The flesh can't help you with the wiles of the devil. Matter of fact, they're on the same team. They're partners, they're allies, the flesh and the devil. See, our weapons of warfare are not carnal. And Ephesians 6 substantiate that. Ephesians 6 says this: "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Do me a favor, look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I am not your enemy. So don't be deceived into thinking that I am. If you are married, look at your spouse and say, spouse, I ain't your enemy. So don't be deceived into thinking that I am. Yeah, let's give God a hand praise. See, our spiritual warfare is not carnal. Not at all. See, we're in warfare, church. If y'all don't see it by now, you'll never see it. And the sword of the Spirit is our spiritual weapon. I'm going to tell you, see, Christians, we know the true gospel, don't we? And it's our duty as Christians to confront error with the weapon in which we have been given, which is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians also say, put on the full armor. Jesus Christ himself, Jesus used the sword of the Spirit in the wilderness in Matthew 4, didn't he? He used the word, his own word, against the devil. And the devil got to stepping too, didn't he? You better believe it. Blessed Hope Bible Church, we can't continue to allow the enemy to wreak havoc upon our sanctuary, upon our leadership. We cannot do it. We have to stand up. And we have to correct wrongdoing with the weapon in which we have given. That's just the sword of the Spirit. And you know, as we grow, the war gets more intense. See, the enemy ain't thinking about no babe in Christ who don't know no better. But once you mature, it's on then. That's when the war really take place. But our spiritual weapon is not carnal. It's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And it's the word of God that's going to demolish those strongholds. But taking our thoughts captive is something we must do to take our thoughts captive. This is what we must do. We must filter all of our thoughts with thought protection. You say, what is thought protection? We have to ask ourselves some questions. We have to ask ourselves, is it true? The thought that comes in our minds, we got to ask ourselves, is it true? If it's a lie, then reject it. Take it captive, cast it down. We've got to ask ourselves, is it honorable and worth respect? If it's not, demolish it, reject it. Is it right and confirmed by God's word? If it's not, reject it, cast it down, take it captive. Is it pure and wholesome? If not, then cast it down, reject it, replace it with a godly thought. Does it bring peace? If it brings anything other than peace, cast it down, reject it. Get rid of it. Replace it with a holy thought. Is it admirable? If not, reject it. Cast it down. Take it captive. Is it excellent and worthy of praise? If it's not, then reject it and take it captive. We have to do those things. That's one of the ways we guard our thoughts. Amen? Does he give God another hand praise? Absolutely. Because if we don't protect our thoughts, we're in some serious trouble. Because this warfare we fight, this battle that we're engaged in as Christians, it's intense. We're fighting against a foe that is that's far beyond our understanding. The devil, the Antichrist spirit, is all around us. And he's trying to take the Christians out every day. And what way do you think they're doing that? Through our hearts and through our minds. What other way they can come? Because that's where our spirit lies, in our heart and in our minds. You understand that? Hallelujah. Principle number two. We can guard our hearts and mind through holy and consecrated living. Ephesians 4 and 1 says this. It says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Pastor Jim, just pray that, an altar prayer, to which you have been called. We, you know, and Paul is just telling the church of Ephesus, he encourages all believers. He said, live what, to the point where it honors God. See, we've been saved by grace through faith. And he's telling these believers, he said, live like it. Live like you've been called to Christ. Don't live like hoodlums and street people, like Pastor Jim said. We ain't street people. We belong to the Lord by God. We have to live like it. In this day and age, in the world, you know, the world, they can't tell whether we're Christians or not sometimes. And that's bad. We've gotten to the point where, you know, we're too proud to say I'm sorry and stuff like that. See, real rooted in the ground of saints, they ain't easily to be offended. They understand how important repentance is. They repent in the heartbeat because they understand they're in a spiritual battle. Arrogance. You know, we can't walk around with an arrogant spirit. That's not Christ-like. Amen. Thinking you're better than everybody else. We have to live worthy of the call. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as the scripture says. And make no provision for the flesh. Don't you know in the flesh there's no good thing? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is no good. I'm telling you, if you ain't no good, you just ain't no good. The flesh ain't no good. We have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And how we do that, we obey his precious holy word. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says the same thing. Also, we pray that God count us worthy of this calling. Another way to not to make provision for the flesh is to stay away from the stuff that influences the flesh. If you know your flesh is weak to something, stay away from it. Don't go, you know, if those of us who have ex-wives and stuff like that, ex-husbands, don't go around them by yourself. Tell them they're your best friend. No, they ain't. They the flesh's best friend. See, because the flesh likes what it's familiar with. Y'all hear me? And you got to stay away from things like that. I'm telling you, because this is a spiritual, oh my God, this is a spiritual battle. And it's intense. We got to live worthy of the calling. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh or fulfill the lust thereof. And, you know, when I was researching this sermon, you know, I just came up with these three principles, but it's so much. It's so much that I couldn't even, you know, I didn't know which to write. I just chose these, but it's just so much there about guarding your thoughts and your heart. So much there. But the point is in this, that Paul is encouraging us, look, we are believers in Christ. And we need to act like it. So the world can look and see the difference. See our light shining in this dark world, because this world is very dark. And we must do this as well. We must guard the gates of our soul. Say, what's the gates of your soul? Some of our senses. what we see, what we hear, what we taste, and what we smell. Let me start with what we see. Men, y'all know we are vision driven. You know that, don't you? Yeah, we love to look. I'm telling you, when you become a kingdom man, you watch that. Because there ain't nothing cute or funny about a Christian man looking, eyes gazing at a woman. Ain't nothing cute and funny about that. You call yourself a Christian? Just looking. Come on, but it ain't, you know, it ain't easy to look away. Yes, it is. I tell you one thing. It's easy to fall in sin if you keep on looking. Yes, it is easy. I do it all the time. I ain't always done it, but I do it, you know, do it now. And my wife be walking in Walmart or something, she walk a little ahead of me, and some woman, half-dressed woman, walk past. She just kind of look and see if I'm looking. I'd be looking straight ahead. You ain't got to worry. I ain't looking. No, no, no. Hey, it ain't always easy. It takes practice, but you can do it. If you're Holy Ghost filled, you can do it. Now, if you ain't Holy Ghost filled, you cannot do it. But if you're Holy Ghost filled, you can. Yes, you can. Ain't nothing worse than a brother in Christ coming up on you and watching you look at his wife. That ain't cool. I ain't finna get caught doing it. Ruining my witness. No, Lord. Ain't nothing funny or cute about that. And we got to be careful what we watch on TV too. Yeah, y'all know that. Y'all know can't watch that ungodly stuff that's on TV. All these fam, you know, they got like it's normal. Two dads and two mothers and stuff like that. You know, like it's normal. That's not normal. It's abnormal, ungodly. Turn that stuff off. Don't watch that stuff. And they have the nerve enough to want to raise families, two men. Well, get your man partner pregnant then, if you want to raise. Oh, that's right, they can't. They the same sex, ain't they? Okay. Oh well. The same thing with a woman. What you want to raise a family for? You can't do it naturally. Hey, I just call it. With no fear. See, only fear God. But see, we got to, you know, because what we watch, what we see, what we hear, what we taste and smell, you know, it dictates our thought life. It do. You keep watching that kind of stuff, pretty soon your mind is focused on it and you begin to believe that stuff the more you watch it. You got to be careful what we hear. You know, in this generation of youngsters, they hear all that gangster rap and all that kind of stuff. They hear it constantly. Make them want to run out and do a drive-by or something. They hear all that stuff. They hear it, and it's planted in their mind and their thought process. What we taste and smell. Now, everybody in here got a past, right? You smell some cologne or perfume of somebody that you used to deal with in your past and see if you think about them. Yes, you will. The first thing you do is think, oh, so-and-so used to smell that. Used to smell like that. She or he used to love that. Hey, don't smell stuff. That's going to remind you. It's going to take your thought life down a deep end. Y'all think that's funny? That's just the truth. Don't smell nothing that's going to remind you of somebody else. It's going to take your thought life somewhere else that you don't supposed to be. Because this is spiritual warfare. It is spiritual warfare. And these spiritual wicked enemies ain't playing with us. They ain't playing. I know it's kind of comical and stuff, but it really ain't funny. Yes, it's serious. But we have to guard the gates of our soul, amen? I don't have to tell you that Pastor Roland ain't long-winded. Y'all already know that, don't you? Amen. But anyway, principle number three, and these scriptures that speak for itself, it said we can guard our hearts and minds through prayer and noble thoughts, Philippians 4 and 6, and it just simply reads, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's give God a hand praise. See, He will give you peace under those conditions, but His grace is more great than we can ever imagine, but He's just letting us know, don't worry about nothing, I got you. You don't have to go off the deep end and think all kind of crazy, because this, I give you that peace. Come to me. Present your request known to me, He is telling us. And I give you peace in your heart and your mind. That's all you got to do. You do that, and then you ain't got time to think all these negative or toxic thoughts if you put your mind at ease. Give everything to God, because He'll take care of it. In the gospel, He said that, consider the fowls of the air. I take care of them. The birds don't worry about nothing. I created y'all in my image and likeness. What makes you think y'all going to worry about that I ain't going to meet y'all need? That's pretty much what He's saying. And let's read this last one together in unison as a congregation, because this is what we have to do. And it reads, come on, let's do it. Is it
up there?
Yes, it is. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Let's give God a hand praise. That's what we got to think about. And as closing, I just want to say this, last and most important, see, these methods are no value unless we place our faith in Jesus Christ. I know that, don't you? From our sins. See, they don't matter if we haven't done that. That's the first thing we have to do. See, this is where we have to start. There can be no victory over sin, thoughts or temptations, or God promises as His children, and the Holy Spirit's power is not available to us if we don't put our trust in Jesus Christ. This is a communion Sunday, and if you don't put your trust in Jesus Christ, you might as well not even take it. It don't mean nothing to you. You can't guard nothing. You can't fight nothing if you don't have the Spirit of the living God living in you. God will bless us who seek to honor Him with what matters most to Him, and as who we are on the inside, and not just what we appear to be to others. Jeremiah 17 and 9 and 10 says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. I, the Lord, search the heart, and I, the Lord, test the mind. In other words, we must live in dependence of the Holy Spirit, with His strength through prayer. That's it. We can't do none of this on our own. None of it. None of it. We must depend on the Lord thy God and His Spirit to get us through each day of the spiritual battle. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Jesus didn't come here on this earth and die, took on humanity, and the grueling way to the cross. He didn't do all that for us to live mediocre lives as Christians. He didn't do it. We was talking that in a minute, we are here for a purpose, and that's to live a life honor that honors God. We ain't here for no other reason but that. It don't matter how much stuff we have, possessions, things, that don't mean nothing. We are Christians, and we are here to honor God. And we just got one crack at it. That's all we got. One crack at life. Heaven is taken care of. It's down here on this earth that we have to make the difference, that we have to make our life shine. And if we don't guard our thoughts, plain and simple, we will not glorify God. Because we'll be consumed by this world system and these spiritual enemies that is out to destroy us. But nevertheless, we thank God for His Spirit that dwells in us. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we thank you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit that dwells in us, that gives us the power to guard our thoughts and guard our hearts in this treacherous world system and the flesh. And we thank you for it. Understand that we can't do nothing and nothing in our own strength. So we thank you for what you have done here today. We give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you glory, because you alone are worthy. Like the praise team sung, God is your everything. Everything. You're the beginning, you're the end, the Alpha and Omega. Everything to us. And without you, we can do nothing. And on this day, on this first Sunday of August, 2018, we give you praise and we give you glory. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let every heart say amen.
Amen.
May God bless you and God keep you.